It's good to be with you tonight, and tonight we're going to be going to prayer and after the brief message to pray for our students and to pray for our school. And so I wanted to share some things with you that has to do with praying, and especially in an educational setting. I've got some things that I share with the teachers sometimes, and I have this really good book that I enjoy. It's called I don't enjoy it because it's pink. Seth enjoys it because it's pink, maybe. But not me. Despite the cover, it's called The Principles of Teaching, and there's a lot of really good things that I've learned from here and been able to share, but one of them is the principle of intercession. And I'm going to use some of the verses that they shared in here, not all of them, but just a few points from here. And it's entitled, The Key Which Unlocks the Door. The Key Which Unlocks the Door. The door of ministry, the door of being able to accomplish the work of the Lord. Being able to do what God's called you to do, it all begins with the principle of intercession. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is Moses. And I've always been attracted and drawn to Moses because he's a model for me especially that I will never probably attain to, but I would love to reach that plateau one day. Moses, no matter what people did to him and how much they hated him and talked bad about him and tore him up and destroyed him and complained even when he did what was right, Moses still prayed for those people. He still interceded. It's one of the major aspects that you can learn about Moses if you study his life, is that he was an intercessor. And he prayed for these people that despised him, that kept disobeying God. And the intercession then is an important part it's a mindset of how I'm approaching the ministry and how I'm approaching, in this case, education and the students. This book was written again by Sam Daugherty back in 1998. The principles of teaching. And I'm going to share some verses and some things that will help you as Grace Bible Church know what should you pray for when you look at these lists of students right here. And you see the teacher's name. Well, I've got fifth grade right here, so the teacher is Ashley Ditmore. And she has 21 students. So what do I pray for when I see these names and when we call out these names and we go to prayer and we mention Mrs. Ditmore as well and pray for? What are some things to pray for? What are some things that our teachers pray for? What are some things that they're wanting the Lord to do perhaps through them in their lives? Now, we have, again, a responsibility to have an attitude of prayer. Let's talk about just briefly a few things. First of all, God works by answering prayer. We know that. There's many verses in the Bible we could look at. We're going to look at a couple of them here. If you'll turn to James chapter 5, verse 16, we all know this verse, very familiar. We're going to look at a couple verses in the New Testament. James chapter 5, verse number 16. The beginning of this verse often gets overlooked. We like to go to the end of the verse because the end of the verse says, the effectual, as it's on the board, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But notice the beginning of the verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. So if we've got issues in our life and heart against other people, how can we pray effectively for them? So if I'm going to be, first of all, a righteous man, which means I've confessed my faults, I've got things right with people and with God, and the righteous man's prayer, the idea is, has power. God works by answering prayer. Sometimes I wonder, and I don't know, I'm not God, but I wonder sometimes if the Lord does things because He wants to see if we're going to pray. I don't know, I'm not God. And I wonder how many times He yearns and wishes that we would go to Him in prayer. Because when we go to Him in prayer, it shows that our reliance is on Him. You know, I've been convicted many times just going through the day, and then I think, well, you know what, I didn't pray over this situation, or I didn't think about, you know, I'm not saying stop and drop on my knees in the hallway and to make a big scene in front of the students, you know, which sometimes I probably need to do, and Lord, deliver us from the devil that's running through here or something, I don't know. But I'm not talking about making a big scene or anything, but you know, have you ever prayed in your mind and in your heart? You ever prayed you're just driving your car? You know, I used to drive a lot to go to work. Now it's really nice. I've got a little 30-second drive to work, so I can't pray that much going to work. But I used to drive a lot, and I would think. And, you know, even prayer. Pray without ceasing. It's an attitude and a mindset that I'm just asking the Lord about things. And sometimes we don't stop and ask the Lord. We think, well, I can handle this. I've done this a million times. I can handle this. I can grab the chemistry book and review my slides. I've taught it several times and go in there and just teach it. Okay, no big deal. That can be very dangerous, right? Because then I don't go, Lord, help me today as I'm teaching to be able to answer the questions, to be able to see opportunities to bring your word into the lesson. And so sometimes we get in the rut mode And we don't stop and pray. And I think sometimes the Lord is wishing that we would pray because it demonstrates we're relying on Him instead of ourselves. So the fervent prayer of a righteous man, it's powerful. It will work. If there's issues of unrighteousness, I wonder many times if God will work in those cases. Another familiar verse, we're right here in the back of the New Testament. Go over to 1 John chapter 5. Flip a few pages over. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Well, I tell you what, sometimes we're convicted about our lack of confidence. Confidence means when I ask God for something, I just believe He's going to do it. I trust in Him that He's going to do it. Now, sometimes maybe we've caught ourselves praying and thinking, yeah, Lord, I'm sure You're going to do that. And we think, hey, there's no way. You know, the times where teachers have had to leave or drop out of their commitment for the year like 2 weeks before Teacher Week. You've talked about that before? You're like, yeah, Lord, yeah, You're really going to take care of that. Mm-hmm. And then He takes care of it. Because we can have confidence. We don't, you know, and you know, we're guilty many times of almost doubting the Lord. Lord, this is really bad. I don't know if You can come through on this one. And He makes us look like fools every time, doesn't He? He just comes in and says, here, I'm going to do this. And we can be confident that when we ask, that this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. In other words, if we ask things that are in accordance with His Word, things that are right, you know, we go and ask God about something sinful or unrighteous, obviously that's a different story. But asking things that are good, asking things that are in accordance or with things that please the Lord, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So even in an education sense, do we really believe that the Lord can save souls in our school this year? Or do we just run it off because it's part of the normal prayer that we pray? Oh Lord, just help the students to grow and help them to do well in their academics and help them to come to Christ. And yeah. But do we really believe that though, earnestly and fervently, that God can do that in our student body? God can do that here at Santa Rosa Christian School and here at Grace Bible Church. Another verse, John 14, 13, without turning there, it says again, to ask in the name of Christ. So ask by those things that are pleasing Him. Ask in a sense of affection, effectual and fervency, and asking in confidence in the name of Christ, and He will do those things. So God works by answering prayer many times. He wants us to pray to demonstrate that reliance on Him, and then He works to answer that prayer. And then when He does that, who receives the glory and honor? Our Lord does. Next, prayer is also modeled in the Bible. Just quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but a few things. I look at the Apostle Paul. Here's three verses. We're not going to look at each of these, but Paul was a model of prayer. He didn't just say, yeah, you ought to pray for people. He lived that. Many of his epistles, in Romans chapter 1, verse 9, that without ceasing, he was making mention of them in his prayers. Constantly praying for the churches that he had established throughout. Boy, that's a high standard to live up to, is to constantly be in a mode of prayer. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you. Talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers. That Paul was a model of continual prayer. Well, how often we fall short of that? When we get busy and we think about other things, and other things dominate our time and the busy schedule of life, and we forget to go to the Lord and ask about these things. Or, Lord, I'm about to enter a situation. Or, Lord, there's some unknowns here. And even not just modeling prayer, have you ever told someone that you're praying for them? You ever said that to anybody? And then do you actually pray for them? I had an old preacher that used to tell me, he would say, when I tell someone I'm going to pray for them, you know, we say it a lot, don't we? Well, I'll be praying for you. You know, and we mean it in sincerity. And he said, a lot of times I just stop right there as soon as they leave me, and I stop and I pray for them. Because otherwise, we get busy, don't we? And we forget. And sometimes I've had, you know, students that request prayer or come and see me, and I'll say, let's stop right now and pray. And then we're going to continue to pray. And maybe you, if you've gone through something, you know, there's a lot to be, but for me personally, it's strengthening to me when someone tells me that they're praying for me. Or that, you know, hey, we're praying for the pastors at Grace Bible Church, or we're praying for you as an administrator, or for you as a teacher. And, you know, teachers that are here tonight, you ought to be encouraged that we're praying for you. We don't just say that. But there are many folks in our church here that pray on a daily basis for our school, for the students, for those that are here, for the teachers and the employees and all that are involved. So modeling it, not just saying that we're going to pray, but to have that actual mindset and follow through with our prayers. But prayer is also not just modeled in the Bible. Prayer is commanded in the Bible. Let's look at a few verses. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is a familiar passage, 1 Timothy chapter 2. That whole first section there deals with the context of prayer. I exhort, therefore, that means he's exhorting, he's wishing that they would, he's desiring, he's telling them you ought to do this, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, a variety of types of prayer there, be made for all men. Boy, that's really hard, isn't it? Sometimes. It's really hard to pray for those that you know are perhaps doing things completely against the Scripture. But the Lord tells us to pray for them and for kings and those in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. If we want to be able to have a life of liberty that we're enjoying and live out godliness and live out and have peace in our land, then we need to have a mindset of prayer. Verse 3, it's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And he continues to go on and talks about in your prayer, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, lifting up our petitions in prayer to the Lord, without fear, without doubting, but having that confidence. Another verse, Paul just says, finally, brethren, pray for us. He's telling the brethren at Thessalonica, this is a responsibility you have to pray for the ministries that are going on. And then let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. I wanted to look at this one. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. This is at the end of the discussion of the armor of God. Of course, prayer being that very important piece that's mentioned at the end. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word all there is mentioned several times. It talks about when, how, and for whom. When should we pray? At all times. How should we pray? With all prayer and supplication, with perseverance. To continue in prayer, to not let up in prayer. And then whom are we to pray for? Now this one might be a little hard for us sometimes too, the end of verse 18, to pray for all saints. You mean even the ones that talked bad about me? Or even the ones that I don't think like me very much? Or the ones I don't get along with? We should be praying for all saints, all the people of God together here in our church and even saints around the world. And then, of course, one last little verse that's familiar. Hebrews tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And what can we find there? Grace to help in time of need. So the Bible commands us to pray. So with that in mind, and we want to kind of tie that into, how should we then pray for teachers? How should we pray for students? How should we pray in the light of education? Let's look at a few points about that. For the teacher, here's some things that you can pray for. Pray for their study and their preparation. I know that you may not believe it. Students may not believe it as well, but teachers don't just stop working when you guys leave at 3:15 or 3 o'clock. Right, Mrs. Ditmore? The work goes on. I saw Mrs. Fretwell, chuckled with her today. I was coming back from car line, and she had finished car line, and she was in the office, and she was going to go back to her classroom, and she had cup of coffee number 3 at, 3:20. And I said, oh, Mrs. Fretwell, is that kind of day? She said, yep, got to get cup number 3. Got a lot to do. You know, they put in a lot of time of preparation, a lot of things that they're doing, studying, and pray for the Lord to guide and bless their study. You know, Bible time, for example, it's not just another time to go through the day and another chapel time or whatever, but pray for the Lord to give the teachers wisdom and direction as they're preparing for Bible, that they will be able to study and understand God's Word. Pray for the spiritual life of the teachers. You know, teachers have more than just school. They have their own lives going on as well, families and kids and all kinds of things, and fighting sickness, and then their kids get sick, and then they have to have, surgeries come up here and there, or a catastrophe happens at the house, and whatever. All those things are normal life also goes along with teaching and trying to juggle all those things. Pray for the Lord to give strength, and then especially in the spiritual life, that there will be time in God's Word, time in prayer themselves so that they can that can exude forth. So pray for these things for the teacher. Pray about attitude. Boy, it's so easy to get an attitude that changes, especially as you go throughout the year. It's easy to get weary. You know, the Bible tells us not to be weary in well-doing. We're doing the work of the Lord. Don't be weary in it. But keep that attitude up and continue to focus on the Lord. It can be natural for us. As you think about our teachers, pray for the Lord to lift their spirits up, for them to be fervent as they continue on in the classrooms and as they deal with the young people, as they many times fight those spiritual battles right there in the classroom with young people, trying to teach them respect and character traits and those kind of things, and that they need to submit to the Lord and come to the Lord. Pray for these things for our teachers. What about for our students? And we have, again, like we're going to do tonight, we have a list of the students, and pray for them by name. You may not know much about those students. You may have never heard of that student before, ever. You probably haven't, some of you. But speaking their names to the Lord, you may not know them specifically, but God does know them. God knows something that may be going on right then in that person's life that's difficult. We've had, even this week, young people going through tough situations. You may not know what's happening in their lives, but take their name to the Lord. God knows every name specifically. God knows every nuanced situation that they might be going through. And He wants us to pray for them and not just, well, yeah, Lord, just bless, you know, so-and-so and, you know, just kind of meet their needs that they have. But think of things, look, what about the most difficult child? What about the children that are going through problems or causing problems? And I'll tell you one thing, as you go through this list, whenever you see a child whose last name is Watt, pray more fervently. And they need that. The teacher especially, pray very fervently for them. You know what that's like. So don't just, you know, sometimes we get shallow, don't we? Well, God, you know, just, you know, like we do, bless missionaries on the foreign field or whatever. You know, we take opportunity. A pastor last week mentioned specific requests for our missionaries. You have a prayer booklet. Take those specific things, mentioning them by name, mentioning teachers by name, mentioning students by name. Mr. Brainerd has said many times, if anyone would like a list of a particular class. I know that Mrs. Ditmore had, at the beginning of the year, several people commit to pray for her students. She put it out there and people said, you know what, I'll pray for your class. She got them a class list. Those people are praying for her students. Great idea. If anyone would like to pray, you have their names and pray for the understanding, for each child to understand things, of course, academically. Pray for the atmosphere of the class. Pray for the children to be able to understand God's Word, to be attentive in the Bible time, and for the Lord to work deeply in their heart. We have chapel on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the high school and middle school. Pray during those times at 9 o'clock that God's Word would go into their hearts, that they'd listen, that God's Spirit would convict. You know, to them it's just, well, we're going through another thing in the schedule sometimes. They kind of get in that rut. Pray for the Lord to awaken them spiritually, to see those needs. And then not just, this kind of goes along with the teacher, but what about the teacher's ministry? We've kind of alluded to this. What is the ministry here at Santa Rosa Christian School? It's to reach the heart of the children, to see the heart of that child transformed and changed. And so we should pray for the teachers that the ministry that they have with the children in the classroom would be one of a spiritual emphasis, that Christ would be honored, that they would find opportunities and little avenues to point to Christ in different situations and to talk about the things of the Lord. There's many. I was talking to Mrs. Bates, and she really enjoys teaching sixth grade. And that's a very inquisitive class, and they're always asking questions about the Bible. It could be in the middle of math or in the middle of history. And, well, she loves it. She just stops, and they talk about it if they need to. Great opportunities the Lord gives for ministry all throughout the day. When a young person comes and is going through something difficult or comes up to the office to see one of the ladies up there, we don't know what those children are going through. But to have them in our hearts and minds and to know, and go to the Lord in prayer, and then to know, for young people to know that people are praying for them. You know, we tell young people that all the time. Well, you're going through this difficult thing. We're going to pray together right now. I'm going to continue to pray for you. That means something to them. They're not going to get that if they go to the psychologist. They're not going to get that many times at home. They're going to be filled with the psychological babble of the day. But to be pointed to spiritual things and to prayer. Now, I encourage you tonight as we pray for our teachers and our students that you would pray earnestly for them, fervently, that you would think deeply about the things that maybe they're going through, things that you don't know that they may be going through, and that you would allow the Lord to work in the students' hearts this year, to work in our hearts, to help us to know and to remember to pray for them, even on a daily basis. Now, Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we can bring things before You in prayer. that you're a God that wants us to pray. Lord, we're glad that we have a church that supports our school, Santa Rosa Christian School. We're glad that our people have a heart of prayer for our students. And I pray, Father, that that would continue daily, because without that, we won't see spiritual successes. Without prayer, we won't see hearts being broken before you. So I ask, Father, that you would continue to work in our church, work in our school, work in our ministry, and those that are involved. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.